We have already studied the nature of at least six gifts, six spiritual gifts, which God, through the Holy Spirit, gave to His church, so that these gifts may be used wisely by individual members of the body of Christ to edify one another in the Lord, to advance His kingdom, and through the exercise of these gifts, those outside of the church may see something of the character or the virtue of God through those spiritual gifts. I hope you realize by now how critically important your role is in the body of Christ. No one is too small or inferior in the sight of God. Every one of us has a part to play in the body of Christ, as the Lord so bless you with the gift or gifts, so that you may use it for the edification of the others in the body of Christ to promote His kingdom. And in fact, Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 12:26, if one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. So you see, the importance of what we are to do with the gifts that we have received from God. The last time I mentioned that if each believer do not develop and strengthen that spiritual gift or gifts, if we do not exercise the gifts that God has endowed us with, then the body of Christ suffer. Because some of these gifts, for example, are uniquely for the purpose of defending the church from errors, from the infiltration of false teachers. Particularly in mind is the gift of discernment. The gift of, as we see in the life of Apostle Paul and Peter, able to discern truth from error, false teachers from true preachers and teachers of the gospel. As for those spiritual gifts which we do not have or we are not endowed with, there is no excuse for us to just sit back and do nothing about it. I mentioned that we ought to seek the help or the advice or the counsel of those who are blessed with those gifts, so that we can seek them and that we may receive instruction and help to tackle or face certain problems which we face, and to meet the certain challenges or the spiritual problem we may encounter. So it is our responsibility to seek out the help, the counsel, the advice, if you like, the knowledge from those who have those gifts, so that we can learn from them. Yes, we may not be blessed with that gift, but we can surely learn from them, and that will help us to cope or to face the problems or the spiritual difficulties that we encounter. It is my prayer that this church, every member of this church, will seek the Lord and ask Him to reveal to us the gifts or the gift that He has given to us, and ask that the Holy Spirit will help us to develop it, to exercise it, to strengthen it, so that we can use it wisely and fully for the work of the Lord, for His glory. Coming now to the gift of giving. Romans 12:8 instructs us that those who have the gift of giving, they are to do it with simplicity. As with all spiritual gifts, as I mentioned before, this is something which the Holy Spirit has given to the church or given to certain believers for the edification of the body of Christ. This does not mean that if I do not have the gift of giving, that I should not give. Since I do not have the gift of giving, Therefore, I have reason not to give. It is simply a gift when this person who has this gift or this spiritual gift of giving, it is simply a gift where this person's ministry or this person's work in the church includes a special prompting to give in areas where others may not, or others may not see the need to give. But this person who has this gift of giving, he or she is able to discern and to know beyond those who do not see it, and that person will give. As God is the giver of every good and perfect gift, James 1:17, the gift of giving again is another gift that reflects what? The nature of God. A God who desires to give. You see that again? That gives us again the important teaching that as we exercise our gift, it is not just for our own edification or benefit and the benefit of the church. By exercising our gift, we are also reflecting something of God to those around us, especially to those who are outside the church. You see that now? So, there is a misconception or misunderstanding that everyone with the gift of giving is necessarily wealthy and rich. This is a misconception. It is not true. The gift of giving may not necessarily have anything to do with the size of our pocket or our bank account. Alright? We see this how? We see this in the action with one particular woman in the Gospel of Mark. Turn to Mark 12. Mark chapter 12, there in verses 41 to 44, we read of this account of the woman with this gift of giving. And as I said, it does not at all give us a representation of one who has a lot of money. Verse 41 says, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much." Verse 42, "And there came a certain poor widow." You see, the Bible makes it very clear to give us a proper description of this person. Poor widow. "She threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow have cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they that did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." Now, of course, I'm not saying here, and this passage does not teach, therefore, go to the bank right now, empty everything and throw into the church. I'm not saying that, therefore, you don't eat, don't care for your own personal welfare, and you give all the money to the church or whatever the cost may be. This is not the teaching, alright? This is to show to us that this widow, she gave of her best. She gave of her all. To her, that too might is her best. You see? As compared to the rich, they are actually able to give more. But they give according to what they have. And this widow here tells us to give from her heart and her all. Therefore, the gift of giving goes beyond what we would consider that which God expects of us. That is the nature of the gift of giving. One who has this gift goes beyond the normal giving. For a person with this gift of giving, they are prompted by God to look into ways or look for ways to give extra. Sometimes God will give that person with this gift more. Sometimes He would not. The Lord may bless the person with this gift with more so that he or she may exercise the gift to give. You see? Again, I must stress that it has nothing to do with the size of our pocket and our wealth and how much we have in the bank account. It has to do more with a heart desire. A heart desire rather than monetary abundance. The gift of giving may not always have to do with the giving of money alone, you see. It may include giving of other provision, food, clothing, blanket, shelter, and so on. It may be in that form. We see this ministry of giving and distributing in the works of the apostle, in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4, verses 33 to 35, show us of this account, verse 33, chapter 4, Acts, and with great power give the apostle witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made according to every man, was made unto every man according as he had need. Now this tells us that those with the gift, we do not exactly know among the apostles who has these gifts of giving, but we see one point here is that those who are given this gift or has this gift of giving, all right, they know how to distribute what? According to the individual need. And it means that it resulted what? In no wastage. It also means that as a result of their wise distribution, you may like to say that, there is no lack among those who are in need. You see, the person, one who has that gift or spiritual gift of giving, knows how to distribute it. In simplicity, there means liberally, without any ulterior motives. That person knows how to distribute all that gifts or all that the provision, if you we can put it that way, in a way that it will meet the needs of those who have need of it, and there is no wastage, and no one will be left behind, so to speak. We may also add to this gift of giving, the giving of time. You see, it is not just money or some material gift, but it may be the giving of the person's time. But that gift, the gift would be, would seem to be able to meet some tangible needs. And if time is something that can meet a tangible need, for example, like helping someone to move house or relocate from one house to another, that gift would certainly include that. That means you afford your time, you know how to allocate your time wisely in helping that person to, say, relocate or move. By the way, the other point that we need to take note of this nature of the spiritual gift of giving is that it is not limited to the body of Christ. Those who exercise this gift of giving exercise this gift not only in the church but even outside the church. It would certainly be one of the main places we would expect to see outside of the church. The gift of giving might be seen in the way of we helping the needs of unbelievers during the recent tsunami or even the flood, especially the tsunami, I would say. Many churches here in this country, back in Singapore and elsewhere too, they give to the relief of the suffering, not only the suffering Christians, But I know of, especially I think Life Church and a few other BP churches, they gave to the relief of those in Sri Lanka, not only to the churches, but they distributed the clothing and all that, the medicine and all that, even to those who were outside of the church. And so those with the gift of giving were undoubtedly part of that effort. They not only give to the church, but they give also outside to the church. And because of that gift, you see, I want to bring up to you the next thing, that is, because of that gift in operation, this gift of giving in operation, other gifts like evangelism were used to bring people to Christ, whose heart right now were now more receptive as they see us or those who exercise that gift of giving and distributing, those who are outside the body of Christ, they see right now the heart of the believers and they become more receptive to the gospel. And those with the gift of evangelism come in at the next stage to complement the work of those who have the gift of giving. You see how beautiful it is that God has designed it that way? How you see how one or each gift may be interrelated or intertwined, and then how each gift may support one another. So this is how God designed the whole church to be. He will use many gifts working in conjunction with each other to accomplish His will and to further His kingdom. But what seems to distinguish this gift of giving from giving in general, right, is that it carries with it a delighting in giving along with a purposeful accomplishment. There is an objective. The word says that if you have the gift of giving, but then give it with simplicity. It means give it liberally. The idea here is goes beyond the normal and it goes with the proper motives. And this is one key motives I want to highlight. Before that, Hodge, in his commentary on Romans, equates the Greek word of giving, which can be, the word simplicity, which we have translated to be liberality. The idea behind that is singleness of mind. And he's right. He says that this duty, by whomsoever performed, is to be done with purity of motive, free from all improper design. This same word is rendered singleness of heart in Ephesians 6:5. So though all of us should approach our service to God with pure motives, yes, in general, we all of us, the believers, are called to serve the Lord and to give of a pure motive with no ulterior motives, and giving of our wealth, whatever form it may be, all right, must be given what? Must be done and given with a pure motive of not, this is the point I want to raise to you, of not bringing attention or glory to ourselves. Very, very important for us to remember this. Not only for those who has this gift of giving, even those who may not have this gift of giving, when we give, our objective, our intention must be pure. And that motive is what? For the glory of God. Not for our own attention, not for our own name. That is important. Another good rule of thumb for everyone, including the one with the gift of giving, is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, which I'm sure you all know. And you have repeated it many times. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You see? Why? Why are we believers, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should purpose in our heart to give, not grudgingly or out of necessity? Why? Because when Christ gave his life for you and me, it was not done under compulsion. See that? It was done out of love for us and out of love for the Father, or out of obedience to the will of the Father. See, so therefore when we give, whether we have that gift or not, we are to give out of a cheerful heart. Purpose in your heart. In fact, Jesus in his sermon in Matthew, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Do it in secret. Do it with a pure motive. And God in heaven will what? Reward you accordingly. So you see the teaching behind. It has to do with the character of God, the nature of God. So we are to give cheerfully because God gave of his Son to us out of love. Not because he's forced to, no one forced him, but he gave to us of his best, the very best of all gifts, his Son. He gave out of love for us. So therefore, we too, when we give, we ought to give only for the glory of God, not to draw attention to ourselves, not to bring our own, get our own glory, but for his. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for that joy, see that? How did, or why did Jesus go to the cross? Who for that joy was set before him, endured the cross, you see? Cheerful giver. Jesus gave his life for us joyfully, not grudgingly. Endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, at this point, I must mention this, lest you misunderstood, especially those who do not know much about this church or what we are doing. I must stress that I am not here in any way using this sermon to exhort all of you to be giving more or give concerning your tithing. This sermon here has nothing to do with the tithing directly, so to speak. Yes, it may have some sense of about that, but this is not my intention. This sermon is definitely not designed to throw hints to you that the church is in need of money, so please give more. Please. This subject is only concerning the spiritual gift that God gave to the church. So don't get the wrong idea that right now I'm using this sermon to hint to you that you're not giving enough, and that as though we are in need of funds to do something. No, we are not. But at the appropriate time, alright, at the appropriate time, I shall see as the Lord leads us, such teaching concerning our tithing and offering will be introduced and will be discussed. But for the time now, it is purely on the subject of spiritual gift and how we ought to exercise that gift of giving. But I would like to remind all of us, it is true. It is true that Jesus takes a personal interest in our giving. Not because God or Jesus needs our money, rather than to remind us this, that in our giving, we are reminded of the giver. Because what we can give depends on what we are given, isn't it? If God did not bless us, if God did not enable us to give, you and I will not be able to give. So let us not boast in our giving. Realizing this, when we give through our giving, it is a reminder to us to direct us back to the giver who has given us his all, who has given us the very best of all gifts, which I mentioned just now, the gift of his Son. So do not think that Jesus is right now taking a personal interest in my giving because he needs the money or because the church needs the money. No, in our giving, it is another way that the Lord wants to direct our attention back to himself, the giver, who has given us his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is interesting to note, when John recounts that incident in the temple with the woman who gave of her two mites, it says what? You turn back to Mark 12:41. It says this, very interestingly, it says that Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. Is this verse telling us that Jesus has nothing better to do just to sit down there and waste his time away to watch these people giving, and so that he can find out how much each person is giving? No. The purpose of doing that is for Jesus to look at the heart of the giver and to use that as an object lesson to teach the disciples what is the true nature of giving. And that's how, you see, our Lord Jesus is a master instructor. He is a master teacher. He uses every of this situation, day-to-day life example, to teach us, to teach his disciple. And so when Jesus sat there watching those people who gave, who cast in the money into the offering bag, if you like, it is not for him to do a scan so as to make a mark who did not give enough, but to use that as an object lesson to teach the disciples and to teach all of us this, that whether you have the gift of giving or not, the instruction is this, whether you have the gift of giving or not, every man, including women, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. It all comes down to the heart. It doesn't matter even if you throw in what you, the least. But if it is given to God out of a cheerful heart, with a pure motive, not to show that you are very modest, very mature in your faith, to gain that attention, but solely for the purpose of glorifying God, if you do that from your heart, if you give from your heart to the Lord in this way, God will accept your gift, because God loveth a cheerful giver. So may the Lord help us to give of our best, help us to give of our all, not for vain glory, but in glory of his name, in honor of his name, and so that those who are in need may be blessed by our this spiritual gift of giving. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee that you have blessed your people so richly with so many spiritual gifts. O Lord, we see right now more clearly how you have endowed us with various gifts, and you have blessed us so richly. And we pray, Lord, for every member of this church. We ask that you will help us to know for ourselves what you have endowed us with. And may your Spirit enable us to further strengthen and develop this gift. And may you grant us wisdom how we ought to use this gift for your glory and for the benefit of your people. And not only for the people of the church, of the household of faith, but even to exercise the gift outside of the church so that we may show something and reflect something of the nature of the goodness of our Lord and Savior. So help us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.